Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and this is The Call.
Welcome. I'm Donna Schuller. This is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And, you know, I lose track, but I think we're in about our 14th year of doing this call. And this
we started in 09, right?
Yeah, no.
Did we start before that somewhere? No, I guess a long time ago.
We're our 13th or 14th year. I'm pretty sure it's our 14th year. But we'll figure it out later.
Well, if we started in 09, we're in our 15th year.
I don't know. I don't think we started in 09.
Okay.
Let's see. That's what happens when you're husband and wife and you do this together. And we both have very strong personalities, obviously. But thank you for tuning in this evening. This is our podcast. So not only are you watching on one of maybe 7 or 8 social platforms, but we are live on our website at drschuller.org or robertschullerministries.org. So we thank you for listening to us. And we have a great guest tonight. You know, we've had some amazing people over the years. We've had great theologians. We've had amazing scientists. We've had all kinds of people. And I'm going to let Robert introduce our guest. But first, we're going to open in prayer. And then I'm going to read a scripture I chose.
Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to pray for our friend's brother. His name is Bob Magnuson. And he's having surgery tomorrow. And so I want everyone to join me in prayer as we pray for Bob. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Bob as he prepares for surgery tomorrow. Apparently, it's a pretty serious surgery. So may the surgeon's knives cut perfectly. May everything go exactly as planned. And may the outcome be a surprisingly positive good news. For you are a God of miracles. You're the God of health. You are the master physician. And so we pray for Bob, oh Lord. We also pray for everybody who listens to this podcast that they will find something that renews their spirit, that gives them hope, that drives them, that helps them find their meaning and their purpose in life. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, Robert's going to introduce our guest after I read the scripture. And this, just a word about the scripture. Our friend that's speaking and being interviewed tonight also spoke. She actually had the floor for an entire hour. She could have gone hours and hours and hours. She's a fantastic speaker. But I actually, God put on my heart that morning or the night before, I think, a scripture that I thought was just appropriate for our friend and our interview guest. So I'm going to read that scripture tonight, and it's actually Isaiah 61, the first few verses. So it's Isaiah 61, 1-3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And we know that God always adds his blessings as we read the words in the Bible. So
one of the things we do every month and every week is we collect an offering. And we just want to remind you that we are a church. We're a nonprofit 501c3, and as such, we depend on your tithes and your offerings to continue what we do. And up here, you'll see a couple barcodes that you can. Or I should say QR codes, one is for our GiveThePlatform, which if you go to our website drschuller.org, that's drschuller.org, and we spell it out because of otherwise the closed caption misses it every time. And we also have the Venmo over there, so please consider supporting this ministry. Because we can't continue to do what we do without your support. And we want to thank you in advance for that. So go to our website if you want to see more programs like this. We've got plenty of them on there. We've got them on our podcasts. We've got we have a connection to our YouTube page with thousands of YouTube videos, and we're continuing to post more all the time. Every week we post a couple more videos, so we're very active, and we're very excited about freedom and about the opportunity we have to be able to make a difference for the kingdom of God, and specifically in maintaining the freedom of the United States of America. And freedom is noticed as lack of government. The more government you have, the less freedom you have. The less government you have, the more freedom you have. Your freedom is completely tied to the amount of control that government has. So one of the people that we're going to be talking to today is somebody who actually I was introduced to by my daughter, Christina. She went to an event, I think it was at the Orange. Yeah, this is the Orange County, a hangar in Orange County. And she came back and said, "Oh, Dad, you've got to meet this gal. This woman is amazing." And so I went out of my way to contact her. I think I had to go through somebody else who gave me some other connections. And finally, I tracked her down. And we've been good friends ever since. She's now a member of our church. She speaks around the world.
We followed her lots of places.
we followed her up to
Atlanta.
Well, first of all, we took her to Washington, D.C.
That's right.
To speak about vaccine freedom
in 2019.
And that was before COVID. And then we followed her up to Sacramento as we continued to obtain freedom of, so we didn't have to wear masks all the time. This was before the vaccine was available. And so we have a long history of doing things together to prepare and encourage citizens and people and maintain our freedoms.
To just stand up.
Just stand
We're
up,
just
exactly.
Encouraging them to just stand up.
Oh, perfect. But her name is Lee Dundas. She is a human rights attorney, an abolitionist dedicated to preserving basic freedoms. She is an absolute genius. She graduated from Stanford. I don't have all the details. I'm not going to go through it, but I'm just going to tell you she's way ahead of everybody in her IQ, in her the speed that she graduated from colleges and law school, and what she's done for human trafficking in Thailand. I mean, the list goes on. She's an amazing woman. I love her, and she has a lot to say. And I want to introduce you to her right now. Lee, we want to welcome you to the call. So hopefully all is well with you. Let me hear your voice to make sure we're good.
Are you good?
Yeah. We are good. I love it. Yeah.
Nice. I can't believe we haven't had you on the call before, but I think it's just because you're all over the place, and even, you know, it's hard to even figure out when you're available, right? So we're glad.
This is true. I am everywhere and also really slippery like a greased pig because
yes,
I'm just running around like my hair is on fire. Speaking of hair, it's a bad hair day. I went to the grocery store and there was a wind and it did want to, I look kind of like a duck butt back here. Moving right along from my bad hair day. Thank you for the lovely introduction. Thank you guys for having me. I had forgotten, Robert, that it was Christina who had introduced us. I do remember our first call. I was driving to Northern California, and we were taken a thrashing in the San Diego courts over a vaccine lawsuit in 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. And I was just crying, and I was so sad. And the phone rang, and I never really answer, crazy unknown numbers, but I answered, and it was you. And we talked for like a half hour, and it was such an uplifting call that when I hung up, I was like bouncing in my seat like a 5-year-old who'd had like 5 snow cones. And my husband's like, "Who was that? Like, do we know a Robert?" And I'm like, dude, it was like the Crystal Cathedral founder's son. Like, I don't know why this famous family wanted to talk to me. I was like fangirling all over and trying to not be obvious about it. And little did I know that after that, you would be so kind to invite me to the president's prayer breakfast with Trump in 2020 and made so many great connections there. And then, you know, like you said, we've been just, you know, thick as thieves ever since, or should I say thick as freedom fighters. And-
yeah, that's a lot better. Yes.
But Yeah. Fighting the thieves in Sacramento and DC. But anyway, long story short, it's been a good 5 years and I'm proud to call you my pastor and my family's pastor now. And so what do we want to talk about today?
Your book.
Yeah.
Donna, what's in your book?
Donna read your book in a few days and she knows I've got two or three books on my stack that I'm going. And so she went and gave it away.
I give them away when I read something good now that's important, right? I give these books away instead of just keeping them around. And so I'm like, wait, I already told her. I don't have your book here. I give it away actually to Crystal.
So do you have a copy of your book on your desk?
I do. And I'll give Donna the copy.
There it is.
It is called Just Stand Up.
People get it where?
Amazon right now. Is the best place to get it. Usually I'd say my website, but my mother-in-law was supplying my books personally because she had a bookstore and a printing press. But after 40 years, you know, big companies, Amazon made an end of small printers. Absolutely. So very sad. She was almost in business for a half century. She supplied, she did college and law school bookstore. That's what she owned. And yeah, she wrapped up her last shop a week ago. So she printed these. So if you order one now, you will literally get a jacket that was literally glued on by my husband's mother. So
we're
down to the last 500, but and then I'm going to have to pay, you know, some big publisher like Amazon to publish them and print them. But long story short, I need to get my own website working to sell them. And we're almost up and running, but not quite. So the most reliable place this week is Amazon. After that, you can go to my personal website, Lee Dundas, L-E-I. My mother gave me extra letters, L-E-I-G-H.
It's a good name.
Yeah, dundas.com. And I'm going to have a new podcast. You guys have inspired me. Everybody said you should have your own. So that'll be launching as well. If you go to my website, leedundas.com, you can click the podcast page and sign up so that when I start doing this whole thingamajig that I don't know how to do yet, you can figure out how to, I don't know, find me on Rumble or get notification when I finally launch. And all my other events and videos, if you like me screaming at blue state governors and blue state presidents and local school boards, all that stuff is also on that leedundas.com. And
then if you go see it.
If you just want to support me, I do, like you guys, have a 501c3 because fighting for freedom for free is a quick way to begging for change under the 5 freeway. And there's too many people doing that already in California. So I don't mind fighting for your kids and my kids and everybody's kids, but I don't really want to like leave the house that I bought in 1999. So feel free to throw me $3 or, you know, $30 million. I'm open to anything. And that is freedomfighternation.org is the website for that, because that is what we are, a nation of freedom fighters. So it is freedomfighternation.org. And yeah, the book, back to the book, is all about, well, it's a little bit about my childhood, which was kind of exciting. And it was a little bit about my, you know, young adulthood when I was practicing law at the ripe old age of 21 after skipping high school. I had lovely bosses down in Fashion Island. You know, it was an old boys club. And I walked in one day to find my bra hanging from the chandelier. And it was not opposing counsel who did that. That was my boss, basically. So there's a lot.
That's unbelievable. Oops, we just lost you deeply. I don't know if you came unplugged, but you...
There we go. There we go.
This technology.
I know, right? So I was just saying that, you know, there's cool stuff from my early life in there. And then the last half is really about the brothel problem, the human trafficking problem, because that's what I was doing for the last 10 years and right up until COVID hit. When I finally realized that we might have a bigger problem in America, ironically, than in war-torn countries in Thailand. But You know, if your listeners haven't heard what it's like to be on the inside of a child brothel on the Thailand-Malaysia border, they can buy the book, and I can talk about it a little bit tonight because I know it's scary stuff for folks. And sometimes the easiest way to stick your toe in the water is to hear about it instead of being a crazy woman like me and mother of an 8-year-old deciding to go bust brothels that were being blown up 300 times a year while leaving my 8-year-old daughter home in Orange County. So,
well, before we go there, you mentioned that the front of your book talks about your childhood.
Yes.
What is the most exciting or the most fun or the most positive thing of your childhood that you talk about in your book?
Well, I had a really great mom and a sort of not as great other parent. And I talk a little bit about that in the book, only really one chapter. But it taught me early that you needed to speak up and that if people were going to take advantage of situations or be not very nice or be sort of bullies, that it didn't really get any better most of the time from you just trying to avoid. I mean, there's a time and a place for avoidance, don't get me wrong, but you know, Hitler wasn't going to stop until he was made to stop, right?
He was going to keep going.
And tyrants.
No, you're not.
Right. Yeah. Until America got bombed into the war by way of Pearl Harbor and finally decided to get off their duff. And I do talk a fair bit about that. I mean, my mom was Eastern European. She was the daughter of Romanian Hungarian folk, and they had fled Eastern Europe and communism during the early 1900s and come through Ellis Island. And, you know, my maternal grandfather and his wife, they slept with a loaded shotgun above their bed. And I would spend the night at grandma and grandpa's house, and you just knew that's what that was. And
yeah, it was big deal, right?
It was no big deal, but they didn't do it because they didn't trust their, bowling partner neighbors in, 1970. They did it because they had been schooled in the fact that nothing is truly safe. And one day in the dark of night, a communist government might come for you and you'd best be armed because fighting with pitchforks and stones in your garden doesn't get you very far. So those were some stories that I wove in. My dad's side, my dad's dad was actually on the deck of the USS West Virginia when it was bombed on December 7th. And he survived. They went hand over hand to a neighboring boat that had not yet been bombed. And then they all ended up in the drink, and the drink was on fire because there was so much oil on top of Pearl Harbor from all the down. It was on fire because, you have live rounds hitting it, right?
Sure.
And so he actually swam through water that was on fire. And this is after he ordered his men. They were out of ammo in the first half hour. That's how unprepared we were.
Yeah.
And so they're shooting at bombers. They can see the Imperial Sun logo. I mean, that's how low the incoming suicide bomber plane kamikaze guys were. And they're shooting and even hitting some of them because they're so low, but they ran out of ammo. And he knew that, any plan is better than no plan. And he ordered everybody around him to pick up potatoes.
Wow.
They were forwarding tater tots out of the mess hall and hurling potatoes into the sky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then he ended up in the water, swam through the water that was on fire, got treated for burns in a hospital there in the Big Island. And then a week later, he was on another boat out to the South Pacific. That one got bombed, and he had to swim through three. So the second time,
the third ship that's gone down.
No. This first one was Pearl Harbor.
Well, if I was a captain, I would say we'll take anyone but him on our ship. Yeah,
he's bad luck. He's got a black cloud under his arm, but he was a survivor, man. This guy had nine lives.
Exactly.
So he swam in through shark infested water for a few miles to a rocky, cliffy Australian whatever beach. And then he got put on a third ship that also got bombed. But that time they got into a lifeboat, and it was him. Third boat. Him and like three.
Two in Pearl Harbor.
One in Pearl Harbor.
You said he was on the first one got hit, so he swam to the second one.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And then one got hit. Then he had the one where he left the Big Island.
Correct.
And then that one sunk, so he got a fourth one. So we're never talking four now.
And that one, they had no water and no food in the lifeboat. And they were out like in the glaring sun of the South Pacific for, 4 or 5 days. And they had a half bottle, guys, of Australian rum. And all I can say is it must have been damn good rum because like four or five guys survived on a half bottle of rum and didn't die of dehydration before they were picked up. And then he came home and he died of lung cancer at 42 because he was a smoker. So
you have amazing accomplishments. You graduated very young, at the top of your class from Stanford. Are you just gifted, or do you have certain practices or beliefs or thoughts in your mind that helps you achieve what you've achieved?
I had a mom who thought I could do anything. I don't actually think I was all that gifted at the beginning of this race, but she thought her daughter walked on water and that I was a genius and that I could do anything I wanted. And she told me that over and over. And I heard the exact opposite from my other parent, that I was a POS and I would never amount to anything, no matter what. And I chose to believe the good advice. And I think it was a Velveteen Rabbit story. I think I lived up to the expectation. And I'm really blessed that there is a very conservative Christian university here in Tustin, Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Just had a meeting with them at 2 o'clock today. Oh, and I am going to be teaching a course on the psychology of winners and winning. And four Saturday course. I think it's going to start May 18th. So again, if you go and sign up for my podcast on leadendus.com, I will alert you as to how you can sign up for the course because it's online and in person. But one of the things I want to talk about, actually, there's a ton of stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by the power of hope and the power of expectation and belief. Mm-hmm. And they did this fascinating study where they divided a class, and this was in the late 60s, in half. And they told the teacher before the class started, oh, this half of the third grade class is gifted and the other half is the opposite. And in reality, the kids were just your average mixed bag. Yeah, they were all the same. They were just randomly dispersed. And they actually recorded her. And she was not doing anything different that was overt. It wasn't like, hey, you dumb jerk, Johnny, come on up and try your hand at the math problem. We know you suck. She wasn't doing anything like that. She was treating him from all that you could get, nonverbal and verbal cues, completely equally. And yet, it's called the Pygmalion study. By the end of the course year, the kids that had been falsely labeled geniuses or high performers were actually performing, I don't know, it was like 10 or 15 IQ points higher than normal. And the other kids had lived down to the expectation, right? So we are the product of our beliefs. And there's a really cool study about rats and the power of hope that I can save for the end. It's a good one to end on. But I think that I was probably, my mother said I was very good at arguing, and that's why I should go to law school. So I do think that God gave me a little gift.
I think every mother thinks their kids are very good at arguing.
Pretty much most kids are.
Yeah. Your mother really encouraged you a lot. You know, my father didn't call it hope. He referred a lot to hope, but he called it possibility thinking. Yes. And much the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if it was nature or nurture, if God gave me a good brain or if my mother just believed that her kids should have a good brain. But regardless, I got asked to start college at 14, graduated at 17, went off to law school a year later and got out at the age of 21 and started practicing for one of the best law firms in the world. And I was blessed to have a very, very good set of teachers and training. And I've tried to use that, particularly the last 4 years, to good effect. I understand that people are overly obedient. I had a really great political science professor who taught me about the Stanley Milgram experiment, which I mentioned at Donna's Bible study. And, you know, people don't know about that. I don't know. Have you guys ever talked about it on your show before?
We haven't talked about it. No, but I know about it. I read about it and you talked about it. And Robert probably has heard of it, but needs to be reminded. Everybody needs to know this.
It's fascinating. It's exactly.
Please share.
Donna, if I could have everybody know one thing out of the last 49 months, I would make them read about and watch the Stanley Milgram trial. So he was a Yale University professor in the early 60s. And his hypothesis was that Hitler was not the problem in World War II in Nazi Germany. That it was, I mean, obviously he was a problem. I'm not discounting that.
Yeah, right.
He was definitely the thing that lit the fire for sure. But his supposition, Stanley Milgram's, was that it was the obedience of the German people that had led to such a bad end. Because if they had just not obeyed Hitler, Hitler would have been a lone crazy guy screaming at the sky on the corner, right? So he devised a study to test out how obedient people were. And he invited people from around Yale to come in and take part in a memory experiment. And once they came in, they were paired up in groups of two, like Robert and Don would be paired up if they didn't know each other. And they were handed a little list of words and they were told, these are arbitrary pairs of words and you need to memorize them. And then when you're done, we're going to put you in separate rooms. And one of the two of the pair is going to test the neighbor on his retention. So, you know, and it was arbitrary things like I'd say cat and you were supposed to notice a table, you know. And so after they were split up and they were put in separate rooms, they couldn't see each other. There were no windows, no panes of glass, but they had a microphone and, you know, earbuds. And the first guy would say cat and his buddy was supposed to know, having memorized the words, to say table. And when the other guy got it wrong, the first guy was supposed to turn to the wall where there was a switch panel. And there were these little bitty, it looked like, you know, toggly light switches. And there was a whole row of them. And the first one started at 9 volts because his buddy in the other room had been wired with like E-stim looking pads, like electrodes. And so for every wrong answer, the first guy was supposed to shock the second guy to negatively reinforce the wrong answer so he wouldn't do another wrong answer. And again, it started very mildly. Like the first switch was 9 or 10 volts, which is no big deal. If you've ever licked a 9-volt battery, it's not great, but it's not fatal. But as you went down, and for every wrong answer, you had higher voltages of electricity. And it got to the point where at the end, it was a 450-volt switch, which if your listeners are not familiar with electricity, that's an electric chair dose. It's fatal.
That's a fatal shock.
Yeah. Exactly. Let the guy speak to this. You guys know cars and motors and electric. Yeah. I didn't know that until my poli-sci professor told me this. But yes, most smart people, truly smart people in mechanical realms understand that's fatal. So, you know, and at the beginning, when the guy got the answer wrong, the first guy would hear, ugh, you know, and then as it got successively more, you know, voltages there, the guy would start screaming, ow, that really hurts. And then, you know, at the end, it would be like, oh my gosh, you're going to kill me if you keep this up. I had a heart attack last year. If you keep going, man, I'm going to die. Stop it. Well, that was the ultimate question that Stanley was truly studying, not how much they could memorize, but would they be obedient? So at some point in the middle, most average law-abiding, normal American people, by the way, the people he recruited for the study were not Ted Bundy sadists, right? They were you and me and your listener. They were architects and pastors and accountants and lawyers and homemakers and, you know, journalists and random people. And so the first person would usually get pretty scared at hearing his buddy scream. And he turned to the experiment head, a doctor in a white lab coat, looking very official with his little lab coat on and his doctor so-and-so on the lapel and his stethoscope and his clipboard. And he'd say, hey, doc, I signed up for a memory test. I am not comfortable continuing to shock my neighbor in the next room. He sounds like he's being tortured. I'm out. And the Confederate of Stanley Milgram, who was the pretend doctor, had been coached to say 3 separate words. And that's it. There was no heavy-handed coercion. It was just, you must continue. Mm-hmm. And by the way, nobody was actually being hurt in the other room, but the first guy didn't know that, right? And so the question was, how many people, when faced with an authority figure, what percent of these people would actually continue the experiment all the way to the bloody bitter end? And at the beginning, when Stanley was telling his psychology friends in the department, hey, I'm going to do this test, man. They're like, dude, you're crazy. You know, everybody's going to walk out. It doesn't matter that you're like pretend doctor tells them they got to stay. Like, you know, 90%+ of the people are going to walk out. But when he actually did it, wouldn't you know, 2 out of 3 Americans agreed to execute their neighbor over a wrong answer on a memory test simply because somebody in a position of power said they should. That is how freaking obedient we were in 1961, and I think it's worse now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you can get an average guy who's got three kids and a wife who's never cheated on his taxes or his spouse, who goes to church every Sunday like clockwork, to freaking kill his new friend just because a guy told him he should, that is absolutely frightening. But once you know that study, I learned it when I was 15, freshman year of college. Once you know that study, let me tell you, when somebody comes to town and goes, "You gotta wear a mask for your own good," you think twice. You're like, am I being obedient when I should, or am I being obedient when I should not be obedient? And I'm not saying obedience is bad. Children need to have structure. We need to be obedient to God. It's a good thing if you've got a good boss to conform so that you don't get fired and have no bread and butter on your table. There's a time and a place. But when you are being obedient to bad authority, when you are sticking your ears and, you know, your fingers in your ears so you can't hear the good Jews on the cattle car as they go by on their way to Auschwitz and you turn a blind eye, that is a problem. And we have way too much of that going on, not just in America right now, but for the last 49 months worldwide. And we need to stop being that particular brand of obedient. And so these are the things I talk about in my book. And I do it, I think, in a fairly conversational way. I don't know. Donna read it.
Very much so. And I agree with your daughter. You are hilarious. I mean, it's very funny. She deals with very serious topics, of course, but you're just so funny. And some of my favorite parts about your upbringing was just your love for the outdoors and, oh my gosh, how you were always getting in trouble. You were so mischievous, really, you know, good, clean fun on outside on a lot of land and digging holes. And
yes.
I'm not going to tell you say, people, you have to buy this book. I mean, first of all, it will give you a great education as to, we'll just further educate you. We have a very educated audience, but it'll further educate you to a lot of truths of what has been happening over the last 4 years in the United States. And as Lee says, around the globe. And also, you know, I think you're going to really learn a lot about Lee Dundas. Many of you know who she is, but if you don't, you need to know how she put her neck out there and helped us from possibly having a United States wide vaccine passport. You know, show me your papers before you can do anything. Go to the grocery store, get on an airplane, you name it. Go to the bank. And she is a freedom fighter par excellence. And Robert mentioned we've traveled with her a lot. We went to Sacramento a couple times. We went to numerous school board meetings. We went to county of
Orange County Supervisors meetings.
Yeah. Robert actually spoke once or twice. And gosh, we were there when we were doing the testing for the oxygen versus CO2 levels. And is that safe? Remember, we had the little finger monitors on and masks and jumped around to see how dangerous it really was and how it exceeded the OSHA requirements for safety. And yet they're telling little children to do this and go play PE or... Yeah, it's absurd. So I hope that people listening to this will just realize that you can never be that kind of obedient again without using your brain. And there's enough information out there now through Lee Dundas and people that are courageous and brave and stand up and do what they can. There's enough out there now that there's no excuse if this ever happens again or when this happens again. There's no excuse for just saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, we have to do. No, you don't. You have to discern what is truthful, what is not, what is manipulative, and what's the government trying to do here, you know?
Yeah, no, it is so true. I mean, what's this famous saying? All that's required for evil to triumph is for, you know, good men to do nothing. But and man, if this isn't an object lesson in that for the last 4 years, it's time to wake up and stand up. And we're all on the continuum, but there's no, You know, if you believe that your children are under attack from the woke agenda, from the drag queen story hour, from a mask mandate, which, by the way, drops your oxygen level to in the 80s where kidney and heart failure occur. And that's on the front page of the OSHA website. So they were lying to you. And I know a girl whose heart stopped in Oregon, and I spoke to her mother after she was rendered clinically dead twice from playing 2 hours of basketball in a freaking mask. This was not safe and effective any more than the, you know what, was safe and effective. So it's time to educate, you know, this is a fifth generation war, meaning kinetic bombs are not going off here, at least not yet, but it's an information war. And the new bullet in your proverbial gun is education, not just on what's going on, what's in shots, what, you know, is behind these mandates, what's going to happen to the poor small business owner when strip joints and marijuana shops are deemed essential, but the local fruit stand is not, and the church is it not, right? Yeah. Stripping is essential, but praying is not, even though we have a First Amendment. So yeah, I mean, it's time to get educated with the facts, but it's also time to educate yourself as to how powerful one person is.
Yes.
People are like, oh, Lee Dundas, well, you're a lawyer and you're not scared. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm scared when I go to the board meeting. I print out my speech and I practice it and I memorize it. And after two paragraphs, I know that's 1 minute. And after four paragraphs, it's 2 minutes. And if they cut the time in the line, I start chopping out the least essential paragraphs so I can still get it said in the allotted time.
Yeah, yeah.
You see me for 90 seconds on the mic.
Very, very fast too.
Yes, I do. And that's because I'm always trying to pack 10 pounds of sausage into a 5 pound casing. But my point, and I do, or I try to, but my point is simply people are like, oh, you know, you're just born with a gift. You see a glimpse of me. And that was a day of research to figure out what the percentages were on kids dying from RSV virus and how nobody's dying from RSV virus. And it's another BS agenda. And then me memorizing and then me going there and getting in line at 6 a.m. So I actually get a space to speak.
Yes.
This is homework. This is a war. And you treat it like a war. You get up early. You work early. You work after your job. Because your children's lives are on the line. But the final thing that I really think people need to know is none of what you and I have done, Robert and Donna and me, is anything they taught in theological whatever and sociology.
No, I learned this in theology school.
No,
in theology school, we were taught to be politically perfect, you know?
Center of the road. So you've got to just find your own courage, and your brain and body and heart will live up to the expectation you set. You stand up, you do your Superman pose every day where you put your hands on your hips and your shoulders back and you look at the sky with your feet spread apart.
Yeah.
And not only do you drop cortisol 40% from doing that for 2 minutes. You increase testosterone 20% and your feel-good chemicals about the same.
Love that.
And you tell yourself, I mean, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit, but you say, I'm strong, I'm courageous, I'm bold. And me alone, with a little help from God, can actually change my kids' school, family, community, state, country, world for the better, because one person can. And I'll leave you with the vaccine passport.
Yes,
the vaccine passport was coming for us. We were the first county in the world, I think, hit with this passport. They knew if they could take a large conservative county, because we are not just very conservative, we're also a big county.
In California.
Right. It was their litmus test. It was their barometer for could they take the whole state. If they could get Orange County, they knew they could get it all the way through the state. And so we were the first hit. We were ground zero. And they were coming for us, man. If you didn't have your little COVID vaccine passport on your little phone, you weren't going to go to the grocery store. You weren't going to go to the movies. You were going to get your kid from ballet or your husband from the dental office. You were going to be a prisoner in your home. And what I said on the mic is, you won't need Warsaw Ghetto. I won't be able to leave my house because nobody will service me. And since when did we become the People's Republic of China? Nobody, not even the Democrats, you know, not even the pro-shot people are wanting to leave an electronic trail of every place they've been. So big tech knows that they were at Chipotle at 2 and at the post office at 3. Nobody wants this. This is Big Brother meets George Orwell meets Rosa Parks meets, it is the worst of history rolled into one. And I closed with, unlike you, I will call this plan exactly what it is. This is a Nazi plan and you are the new Fourth Reich if you adopt it. And me and about 500 other people behind me. You guys were, I think, there that day.
You were there.
Yeah, I read my thing on scientism.
Yeah, basically said permutations are the same stuff. You're not going to do this. We're not going to stand for it. The only response the board gave is they called up the LA Times and they had them do a hit piece on me calling me a Nazi and some other religion that I've never been a part of. I have to check the LA Times every day to see what religion I'm supposed to be that day. I can't believe anything you read in the press. I'm a Robert and Donna's church.
Yeah.
I've been accused of being literally every religion known to man, even ones I've never heard of before, except for Christian, which is what I actually am. But they actually called me a Nazi for calling out our local tyrants. And I thought that's rich, because literally my people, my mother's parents, fled and they left the eldest brother behind and he got caught behind Hitler's curtain and the Romani people were executed. They were shot face down just like the Jews were. But I was like, you know what? You got to recognize when you're not the best person on the microphone. And I am talented and I'm good with a mic. I can't sing, I can't dance, and don't have me do your taxes. You'll think I'm dumber than a rock. I'm good on a mic, but I'm not as good as a Holocaust survivor for this particular point. So I spent, I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks. This is all I did every day. I texted every friend I knew. And I'm like, do you know a Holocaust survivor? Do you know a Holocaust survivor? Do you know? Finally got one. It was like fishing. I finally got a fish. And her name was Vera Shirov, and she had spent age 3 to age 8 in one of Hitler's concentration camps. And I cold called her, and I was nervous. I was sitting right here at my desk, and I'm like, hey. And she answered, I'm all, I'm just an attorney from California. I'm sure you don't know me. But I have a question for you. What do you think about this whole passport plan that New York and California are trying to do? And I'll never forget what she said. She goes, oh, yeah, that is a Nazi plan. That is how Hitler started hunting my people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I got chills. And I was like, I agree. Could you perchance, would you be willing to give me a 30-second soundbite that I will make into a TV commercial? And I don't have the money personally, but I will raise the money. And I promise I will get this little sucker aired on Fox and CNN and MSNBC every hour in Orange County for the next week before our next board meeting in the hopes, last-ditch effort, total Hail Mary, that we can defeat the vaccine passports. Because if we can't, you and I both...
California's going to have it.
We're going to be living in Warsaw Ghetto inside of the year. And she goes, absolutely, my dear. You call me back at 6 a.m. your time on Zoom tomorrow. I will talk to you at 9 a.m. my time. And I'll see you then. And I sent her a script because 30 seconds goes by very quickly. Yeah. It is 4.5 sentences if you're talking my speed. And she's almost 90. Right. And I sent her my script and at 6 o'clock, I roll myself out of bed and try to look presentable. And I get on my Zoom and she goes, I got your script and it's okay, but I wrote my own and I prefer it. And I go in my head, I'm like, but of course she does. She survived Hitler. Would I expect anything less? And I go, absolutely. Let's run with your script. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Yeah. She's going to have, this could be a nightmare. Like, is my chiropractor husband going to be able to cut this into a 30-second commercial? That woman gave me 3 letter perfect, word perfect sound bites that were exactly, Robert, 30.00 seconds.
I remember the commercial. Oh, yeah. I remember.
I just saw it on Thursday again.
Oh, yeah, we
showed the ladies.
It's awesome.
And so I didn't need to edit it. My husband's like, oh, praise God. Thank God I don't have to pretend to be Del Bigtree for a day. All I need to do is put a banner on it. And I gave $250,000 on my Amex gold card to the media stations because they needed to hold the radio or the TV spot that day. That's or we were going to lose it. And I didn't have the money and I hadn't worked in 15 months. And my credit card bill was due on the 18th. And my husband about killed me at that point. And he said, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm stepping out of the boat in faith. And he's like, we're going to go bankrupt. You really think Orange County is going to back your play? And I'm like, damn right I do, babe. And if they don't, it won't matter because we'll be in a concentration camp. Who cares what our FICO score is then? And he looked at me and he goes, God, I love you, but it is always an adventure with you, honey. And I'm like, I know. You got to give that boy props. He's been 25 years.
Oh, we love Steve.
This is Lee Dundas, you know, 101. Like, I am not an easy person to live with, and I readily admit that, and he is a saint to live with me. But we ended up doing, I think, 8 fundraisers in 8 days in Orange County. One of the Irvine kids did one. You guys helped out. Everybody I know here helped out. We raised the money. We put that sucker on the air. Yes. And I got word, because we have moles over at the local government, that their little phone lines were ringing the entire week off the hook, because Ma and Pa, who'd never heard of it and never seen what a rumble is, they're getting it through their boob tube, which is what they are still watching. Yeah. And they're good-hearted people, even though they're not fully awake yet. And they're like, what the hell's going on, Harold? And they're calling their, you know. So we showed up at that board meeting. I got there at 6 a.m. for the 9:30 board meeting. And my husband couldn't get within a half mile of the county building. And I got out of my Suburban or our Expedition, and I had 15 freedom fighters. I mean, the sun was barely up. And they're going, oh, Lee, you don't know me. I know you. Can I help you carry your bullhorn and your and your signs? And we had over 2,000 people in that courtyard. It looked like a damn coup in Thailand, which I've actually lived through. And I said, this is the name of the game, guys. We're going to stay here all day and all night. I used to be the lawyer for the city of West Covina. The thing they most fear is a board meeting that never ends and goes until 4 a.m. I've actually been on the other side of that. I know how this game is played. We're not leaving until we're done. We are taking this hill today. And the good people of Orange County were like, damn right. And it only took, they're wusses. It only took until about 1:30, I think it was, when Andrew Doe came out. And he's like, we can no longer afford this disruption to democracy. We're going to
take it. Exactly.
I'm like, disruption? This is democracy. Are you cray cray? And of course they are. So that is how you get it done. You name and shame the bad plan and the bad people behind the plan.
Right.
And you can do it for $50 at Kinko's, or you can have your kids make the signs, buy a Walmart bullhorn for $20 and get your friends to show up. It's cheap. It's free. And if I had done it with a lawsuit, we would have lost. It would have taken 2 years and I would have burned through $500 million of donor money and still walked out a loser. This was like a week of work. And again, not something you learned in seminary, not something I learned in law school, but any pissed off parent can do what you and I did. And I encourage your listeners to do that, because as Margaret Mead said, never doubt a small group of concerned citizens can change the world. For indeed, we are the only ones who ever have. Mm. Don't you forget it. You can change the world.
Wow. Well, Lee, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. Yeah. We're out of time.
I know.
And
commercial too.
So you go ahead.
Go to leedendis.com, and we will. You know, I will spell that out too on the different social media platforms. And it's leighdundas.com. Leedendis, right? And you need to learn about this woman. And you also need to go on there. If for no other reason, you've got to see the commercial. It's amazing. It's everything she said and more. This commercial they put together that, you know, you just don't know some of the heroes in our society, but she's one of them. And we can never, ever say thank you enough to you, Lee, for what you did.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other things she's done with various groups. But that was a major, major accomplishment. So thank you, Lee. And we're glad to call you a good friend. We love you and Steve and Katya, your daughter. And I know your mom too.
Yeah.
Yes. She's amazing. Well, it takes a village, guys. So I'm honored to be in yours with all these other awesome freedom fighters in our county and across the world. And thank you for giving us a microphone, because without the microphone, we wouldn't win the war. You can't get your message out, you're hosed. You know, if the BBC had been able to get into Auschwitz, this thing would have been over a long time before it was. So keep the microphone going. You're doing God's work, as are your listeners from tuning in. And thank you again for having me tonight.
You're welcome, Lee. You have a great night and a great week. We'll see you Sunday.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Bye. So
before we go, just want to talk one more time that this is part of the Robert Shuler Ministries. This is our podcast. It's called The Call. We're actually live on our website right now and several social media platforms. And if you'd like to make a donation to this ministry, we are a 501c3 church. And the name of our ministry is Robert Shuler Ministries. You can go to our website, robertshulerministries.org, or drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. And there's a button on there that says, I'd like to give. We also have a Venmo account. And anyway, if you'd like to give to this ministry, please do. My husband preaches the word of God, and we also stand up to tyranny, and we believe that we're doing what Jesus wants us to do every day. So thank you for listening.
God is blessing you, everybody. It's the 15th of the month, and if it's 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 15th of the month, we're going to be here on the call.
Exactly. And what do we do on Sunday morning?
Every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, we're
find
here.
Find us in the same place.
Same place. Wherever you're watching us now, you can watch there. Otherwise, you can always find us on drschuller.org. And we just want to give a shout out to our very special friend, Lindy Roth, who's been with us. She helped us get this whole thing started.
Yes, she did.
So we want to give a special thanks, shout out to her. And Pat Cabaldon, and we have how would you pronounce his first name? Callaton from Australia.
I can't see that.
It's right Kate's, there, right above.
Caitlin, right there. I don't know.
Is no, Callaton. Callaton.
I can't read.
Callaton.
Too far away.
But anyway,
sorry.
So hey, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you guys. Have a great night. Great week. Join us again on Sunday. God loves you, so do we.